The Apostles and the Torah, Reconstructing the First Century Church, Part 4. Section 4. Halakhic Disputes, Not Abolition. 1. Defining Halakha in the Apostolic Era. Halakha, literally the way of walking. Designated practical rulings on how to obey Torah. In specific situations. In the first century, multiple Halakhic traditions coexisted, Pharisaic, Sadducean, Essene, Zealot, and nascent Rabbinic. The disputes recorded in the Gospels mirror this. Living legal pluralism. Yeshua and the Apostles operated inside this spectrum, offering their own interpretations rather than rejecting the system itself. 1. The phrase "you have heard, but I say to you," Matt 5, is characteristic of halakhic discourse, signaling a new pasak din, a binding decision. Yeshua's rulings consistently radicalize Torah's ethical intent: anger as murder, lust as adultery, mercy as justice. These represent intensification, not annulment. 2. Disputes over Sabbath observance. Sabbath controversies exemplify halakhic tension. The Pharisees had detailed oral traditions on what constituted work, malacha, including limits on healing and travel. When Yeshua healed on the Sabbath, he challenged their restrictive rulings, not the Sabbath command itself. His argument follows accepted Jewish logic, pikuach nefesh. Saving life supersedes ritual restraint, Luke 14 verse 5. Haig notes that in every Sabbath narrative, Yeshua argues within halakhic categories, citing scripture and common precedent. 2. His claim that Sabbath was made for man, Mark 2 verse 27, restores the Torah's humane purpose, echoing Isaiah 58 verses 13 to 14. Nowhere does he suggest transfer of sanctity to another day. 3. Breaking the Sabbath misconceptions. John 5 verse 18 states that the Jews sought to kill Yeshua because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also called God his Father. The verb luah, loosen, here reflects Pharisaic perception, not divine fact. In halakhic debate, breaking could mean performing an act classified by some as work yet justified by others. Yeshua's act of healing would be considered lawful under the principle of compassion. The subsequent rabbinic tradition also permitted medical intervention on Shabbat. Thus, the conflict is interpretive, not abolitionist. His behavior aligns with Torah's hierarchy of commands, preserving life outweighs rest. Restrictions, 3. 4. Hand-washing and tradition of the elders. Mark 7 recounts a dispute over ritual hand washing before meals. The Pharisees accused Yeshua's disciples of violating the tradition of the elders. The Torah mandates priestly washing for temple service, Exodus 30:19-21, but nowhere commands it for common meals. When Yeshua declares, "Thus he declared all foods clean," the Greek context indicates ritually pure, not abrogation of dietary categories, 4. In other words, he nullified the claim that human tradition defines cleanness. Foods permitted in Leviticus 11 remain Oklahoma food, unclean creatures are not reclassified as edible. The dispute concerns added ritual, not Torah itself. 5. Halakha and moral priorities. Yeshua's teaching frequently reorders commandment priorities without diminishing any. He affirms the Shema as the greatest commandment, Deut 6:5, and love of neighbor, Lev 19:18, as its counterpart. On these two hang all the law and the prophets, Matt 22:40. Summarizes the law's moral axis. In rabbinic Hermeneutics, hang upon, tal yi bo, means to depend upon, not to cancel, 5. This hermeneutical principle shaped apostolic ethics. Paul's exhortations mirror the same hierarchy. Love is the fulfillment of the law, Rom 13:10. Here pleroma, fulfillment, conveys completion in practice, paralleling Matthew 5 verse 17. Apostolic faithfulness thus extends Torah inwardly through the Spirit. 6. Calendar and festival debates. Romans 14 verses 5-6, one person esteems one day above another, is commonly misread as permission to ignore Sabbaths. More plausibly, it addresses disputes over calendar calculation. In the pre-rabbinic era, months began with observed new moons, weather or geography could cause variance. Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes followed differing reckoning systems. Paul counsels tolerance amid these nuances, let each be fully convinced in his own mind. 6. Get Michael Wordsmith's stories in your inbox. Join Medium for free to get updates from this writer. Remember me for faster sign-in. The issue, therefore, is not Sabbath versus Sunday, but differences in festival timing. His advice reflects halakhic humility, recognizing that exact observance awaits Messiah's authoritative clarification when the Torah shall go forth from Zion, Isaiah 2:3-7, Lord's Day and post-apostolic anachronism. The notion that the apostles replaced the seventh day Sabbath with the Lord's Day stems from second century sources such as Didache 14 and Ignatius, Magnesians 9:1. The New Testament, however, provides no such directive. The first day of the week gatherings, Acts 20 verse 7, 1 Cor 16:2, likely occurred Saturday evening after Sabbath's close, a customary time for communal meals. Melave Maka. Luke's phrase when we were gathered to break bread fits this context. Paul's instruction to set aside offerings on the first day concerns accounting, not worship. Substitution. Thus, Lord's Day observance developed later, under Roman influence seeking distinction from Judaism, 7:8, purity and ethical disputes. Acts 10-11 and 15 reveal that the apostles' conflicts centered on purity, who may eat with whom, not what may be eaten. Peter's vision corrected prejudice, not dietary law. Likewise, Paul's admonition against judging in food or drink or festival or Sabbath, Col 2:16, addresses Essenic or Protonostic critics who devalued physical observance. The context opposes Greek dualism, not Mosaic practice. As Haig explains, Colossians 2 warns against those who condemn believers for keeping Torah, not for abandoning it. 8:9, Halakha and Messiah's interpretive authority. The apostles understood Messiah as the final interpreter of Torah's intent. When he said, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath," he claimed authority to define its lawful application. Their obedience was thus mediated through his rulings, not detached from the law. Acts portrays them continuing temple prayer and Sabbath fellowship, confident that his interpretation embodied divine wisdom. This understanding fulfills rather than negates Deuteronomy 18's promise of a prophet judge like Moses. Messiah's halakhic authority corrected misapplications but upheld every commandment's sanctity. For a technical breakdown of Acts 15 that distinguishes anti-legalism from anti-Torah and shows how it fits the wider apostolic pattern, see Supplemental Study 2. 10. Summary of Section 4. 1. Apostolic disputes with Pharisees were intra-Jewish halakhic debates, not rejection of Torah. 2. Yeshua's healings, hand-washing debates, and Sabbath actions clarified Torah's true purpose. 3. Romans 14 addresses calendar variance, not Sabbath abolition. 4. Lord's Day observance arose post-apostolically. 5. Colossians 2 defends Torah keepers against Platonic ascetics. 6. Messiah functions as supreme halakhic authority whose rulings define apostolic praxis. Takeaways from Section 4. The pattern throughout is continuity through reinterpretation. The early believers did not discard Torah, they sought its correct performance under the guidance of the Spirit and the Messiah who embodied it.